Hey, and welcome to another episode of Brick House. I'm Bob Johnson.
And I'm Matt Baker. Glad to be back, Bob. You look great.
Yeah, you as well. You got your playoff beard growing, I see.
That's right.
Not for the Phoenix Suns, I guess.
But. Oh, right out of the gates. I thought it was going to be a playoff beard for terrible playoff basketball up until at least last night. Last night meaning Sunday night.
Finally got a game that was by less than 50 points. So if you want to follow us, you can do so on Twitter, Brickhouse Pod. You can email us through our website, brickhousepodcast.com. Subscribe to our show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, you can find a seemingly endless source of NBA info, whether it's on your favorite team, the draft, free agency, you name it. Where?
Where?
AlmightyBaller.com.
Oh, man.
Or the Almighty Baller station on Dash Radio, where you'll find Brickhouse Wednesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 Eastern, and then again at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern. Yeah, the NBA playoffs are about as one-sided as you get.
Yeah. I was actually kind of hoping for 12-0 Cleveland to go against 12-0 Golden State.
Yeah, it would have meant, though, 8 days of no basketball.
Wow.
Because they actually scheduled the finals to start on June 1st,
Regardless
of when the Eastern Conference, Western Conference finals
end. So now we'll get 6 days of no basketball.
Yeah, last night or Sunday night, Game 3, the Cleveland Cavaliers came out to the Monstars theme music.
Wow.
Did you hear about this?
No.
After Game 2, when they were up by 41 points at halftime, a lot of the Monstars comparisons came out. In fact, their 41-point lead at halftime was less than the Monstars' 38-point lead over Jordan and Bugs Bunny a mere 20-some years ago.
Yeah.
That kind of backfired on them, though.
Sure.
Al Horford defeated LeBron James in a playoff game for the first time in his career.
Whoa.
In that Game 3.
That's nuts.
J.R. Smith said Bradley's game-winning three danced around the rim, eating up clock so the Cavs wouldn't get a shot. He called it the luck of the Irish.
Yeah. Avery O'Bradley.
Avery.
Yeah.
The Cavs took 36 free throws in that Game 3 to the Celtics 12, and Cleveland still lost.
That's crazy.
Don't see that very often. The Cavs before the game were a 16.5-point favorite, so their loss actually makes it the largest upset in NBA playoff history.
That's crazy. I saw the second highest was OKC in Dallas last year, right?
Oh, is that right?
I think so. It was like they were 13 or 14, something like that.
Oh, after Rondo just went on strike?
the classic Rondo strike.
This is also the largest blown lead of LeBron James' postseason career. His teams were 49-0 when they led by 20 points or more previously.
Wow.
Even the Wall Street Journal had a headline about this game today, calling it the biggest statistical upset of the NBA season. Immediately, anyone that is a Chicago Bulls or Michael Jordan fan jumped on this bandwagon.
Sure.
Saying that playoff games with fewer than 15 points. LeBron James now has 6 after his 11-point stinker. Michael Jordan, how many playoff games do you think he had with less than 15 points?
2?
0.
0! Wow.
This is Michael Jordan we're talking Michael Jordan. About.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about Michael Jackson. Yeah, LeBron had a pretty terrible game. 6 turnovers, right?
I mean, the first half, Kevin Love was on fire, and it was his job to get him the ball, which he did really well.
Sure.
The second half, I think the Cavs made 1 3-pointer. I think they made 10 in the first quarter. It's nuts.
Wow.
Well, I saw a really funny tweet. NBA All Access tweeted out that today, maybe the most famous LeBron hater, Skip Bayless, he's walking into the office just like the guy from the Kia commercials, you know?
Like the king is in the building? Yeah.
Nobody can touch Skip Bayless today.
Yeah.
His hate is running strong.
Yeah. The one time it happens in the past 8 years. He's
I told
up.
You LeBron James stunk, guys.
I told you.
This is what I've been talking about. Yeah, teams are now 150-1 in the playoffs when leading by more than 20 at halftime. The one team that actually came back and won was the Cavs earlier in the playoffs against the Pacers. They were down 20 at halftime to the Pacers.
Oh yeah, that was that. Was that that game that Larry Bird was like, "I'm quitting after this. This is just not
getting in a Formula One car. Get the hell out of here as fast as possible." Before game two of the Celtics-Cavs game, the Monstars game, where they won by 44 points, the NBA announced 30 minutes before the game that there were going to be three finalists for the MVP award at their stupid award show
later. Who were they, Bob?
In June. It weren't LeBron James.
Yeah.
Too bad for the Celtics that the NBA announced this 30 minutes before he's set to play.
I guess the problem is not the three who are chosen, just why only three?
There's 10 movies nominated for Best Picture.
You can't. It's hard to argue with Westbrook, Harden, and Kawhi, but why just stop there?
Why have an NBA award show?
I guess that's the...
It doesn't make any sense. All three of those guys are going to be long eliminated. After all those stats, though, I think everyone needs to calm down. The Cavs are probably going to win the next two games by 100 points. By now, you've probably heard that Greg Popovich did some popping off this week, mostly about Zaza Pachulia.
Cry me a river, Bob. That's what I have to say.
He compared Zaza sliding his foot under Kawhi Leonard to manslaughter.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
I did.
Doesn't matter what the intent is. If you're texting and you run into Kawhi Leonard's ankle, it really doesn't make the Spurs any better of a team.
He manslaughtered that ankle, Bob.
Sam Amick reported that after Greg Popovich's comments after game one, Zaza had security added to the entrance of his children's school.
Nice. Sure.
Maybe a little overkill.
Yeah.
Who
do you think was going to run up on that kid's school?
Kawhi Leonard lovers are going to come and slide their foot under Zaza's kid's ankle. Greg Popovich was also asked if maybe Tim Duncan could help out the Spurs in this playoff series. He said, "Tim can't help us a lick. He can't play dead anymore. He just comes for the free lunch." Down three games to nothing. It won't stop Greg Popovich from popping off.
Yeah.
A Spurs fan even sued the Warriors. Did you hear this?
A Spurs fan sued the Warriors.
A season ticket holder sued the Warriors for $73,000. Because the Kawhi Leonard injury is devaluing his Spurs season tickets.
Ooh, okay.
He'll have less of a chance of seeing a game six and, you know, potential finals now because of Zaza.
What was the result of that?
We got to talk about it on Brick House. But
okay.
No, it's in no way a thing that could actually be upheld in court.
Sure. That would be chaos, Bob. So many lawsuits every season.
Imagine the lawsuits Trump would try for.
Oh, man.
NBA Reddit has gone and done blown my mind again this week, Matt.
What they do.
This is a kind of story you would look for like on the pages of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. But no, it's the front page of NBA Reddit. Prepare yourself.
Okay.
You've heard of Wilt Chamberlain?
Once or twice.
Wilt Chamberlain, or as he was first known, George Marcus.
Uh-huh.
Secretly dominated professional basketball under that assumed identity at age 16 for the Pittsburgh Raiders. Before Wilt Chamberlain played college basketball or played in the NBA, he pretended to be someone else so as not to lose his amateur status, and at 16 years old, dominated professional basketball players.
This is one of those stories of could never happen now, obviously, because there's just too much media, but...
Tell that to Thon Maker.
Good point. I like the idea of a 17-year-old Wilt. It says here he averaged 74 points per game in 6 playoff games.
Oh my gosh.
And in parentheses it says, according to the math, ... Not sure it's even possible, but who knows.
Before Magic and Larry Bird got to the league, all the NBA playoff games were even on tape delay.
Tape delay,
I mean, these guys in Pittsburgh might have gone 20 years before even seeing a Wilt Chamberlain game, you know?
But they saw plenty of George Marcus. How many games did he play, does it say? Oh, actually, I found it. It says 15 total games.
15 total games,
He averaged 54 points per game.
This is not only not talked about, it's never talked about. I had never heard this before. This was the number one upvoted thing on NBA Reddit.
I've never heard of it before. I don't think any of my friends have, because no one's even hinted at this until you talked about it.
You know, when I was a kid, I convinced a friend of mine that I trade basketball cards with that Patrick Ewing and Kevin Willis were the same guy.
Sure, I could see that.
That, you know, Patrick Ewing just loved basketball so much that he would fly down to Atlanta or Houston or wherever Kevin Willis was at the time and play twice as many games out of the year.
Everybody check your wallets when you're around old Bob Johnson. He can sell anything to anybody, apparently.
I don't remember why I came up with that, but it was an entertaining theory.
Did your friend you convinced about this, did he just get stuck in corners of rooms and not be able to find his way out?
He loved Dennis Rodman. He was a big San Antonio Spurs fan, and he traded me all of his Michael Jordan cards for Dennis Rodman.
Sure, might as well.
Yeah.
Priceless stuff right there.
Kobe Bryant was in the news this week. The Muse Cage has taught us not much, but the one thing that it has taught us is that Kobe Bryant thrives on hate and rage.
Yeah,
this
does.
Is what fuels him.
Right.
Kobe Bryant's hate for AAU basketball has prompted him to start his own league, the Mamba League.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure AAU basketball is one of the many things that lives inside Kobe Bryant's Muse Cage. He partnered with Nike and the LA Boys and Girls Club to launch his own 40-team co-ed youth basketball organization, the Mamba League.
The Mamba League.
The Mamba League just concluded its inaugural season. We're finding out about this at the end of the season, I guess.
This is
the finals are already over.
Yeah.
It ran from February to April this year. Quote from Kobe, "We challenge kids at the age of 8, 9, and 10 to shoot on 10-foot hoops. That doesn't make any sense to me. When I grew up, we actually played on lower hoops. We played on 9-foot hoops. The court was actually smaller, and we could learn how to shoot with proper technique. We can go and try a reverse layup." Yeah, he doesn't like the one-on-one, you know, showboating style of AAU, so they're lower the hoop so they can do reverse layups.
Lower the hoop. So they can have dunk contests like we used to in high school.
Right.
By the way, all this Kobe stuff, we're just setting up for a 2020 presidential election of like President Trump versus Zuckerberg versus Kobe versus Clooney.
Oprah. Don't forget Oprah.
Because Zuckerberg is on his... Have you seen the Zuckerberg thing where he's like cruising the nation, just talking to the normal folk?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. He was at a church service. He was eating barbecue. So with all this gig, the Muse Cage, we're just... Everyone's greasing the wheels for their presidential run here in 3 years.
Pandora's box is opened.
And he's filled with rage, Rob.
This week, Kyrie Irving got back in front of a hot mic on the RJ and Channing Road Tripping podcast.
It is glorious.
He wasn't exactly saying that the earth is flat this time, mm-hmm. although he is still going in the same sort of vein. So, according to one of Kyrie's close friends, his best friend, he's told the young point guard on multiple occasions that he wouldn't be surprised if Kyrie becomes the Lauryn Hill of the NBA.
Sure. You forgot to add that Kyrie Irving's best friend is an oven mitt, Bob, that he put eyes on. Yeah.
Yeah, the Lauryn Hill of the NBA, or the Barry Sanders of the NBA, meaning that he gets out... Before he turns 30, before he's, you know, really in his prime and just walks away from it all and presumably walks away to start, according to Kyrie, his own community or his own village.
Right.
He's thinking about buying 200 acres somewhere.
Sure.
Getting his friends and family together. Why do you need another... $200 million contract in 5 years in the NBA when you can just move out to the woods of Oregon?
I was talking to my dad about this, and he asked if Kyrie's village will be on the edge of the earth, Bob.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're just going to set it right up there on the
edge. I don't know if they will allow that.
That's true. Well, it might be a little too cold because you get next to the ice ring, but...
So Kyrie wants to start his own village and call it Kyrie Town. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's probably just a placeholder for now. I mean, sure. Kyrie World, I don't know. It made me think, if we're going to invite people from the NBA to populate our new community,
yeah.
Who would we want? How would they contribute? How would they help build our new society
right.
that we're building
yeah.
of NBA people? So we'll call this segment Building Your NBA Commune.
Okay.
I did a little research on commune building. I mean, you don't want to get in too green. You know, you got to see with the mistakes that your fellow man have made before.
Yeah, of course. There have been some mistakes made, that's for sure.
So I found this guy in Scotland who tried this very thing as mm-hmm. sort of a dress rehearsal for the end of days. Mm-hmm. His name is Dylan Evans.
Yeah. I like it.
Instead of trying to imagine from the comfort of my armchair what life might be like if civilization collapsed, Dylan said, I decided to act it out with the help of some volunteers. We would grow our own food, make our own clothes, and do everything else necessary to survive without any of the resources of our modern world. It wouldn't simply be another hippie commune. It would be an exercise in collaborative fiction. We would imagine the end of the world. Here's Dylan's rules. Mm-hmm. He's got three rules
okay.
for the end of the world society. Number one, it will be a learning community. Each member must have a distinctive skill or area of knowledge that they can teach to the others. Number two, it will be a working community. No money is required from the members, but all must contribute by working. Number three, it will be strictly time limited. This is not an attempt to found an ongoing community. The experiment will last 18 months. Members may stay for months, but it may also come for as little as 2 weeks. So this is what Dylan Evans set okay. up.
He doesn't want any 19-month freeloaders there.
No. No, no, no. Something that I have in common with Dylan Evans, and I imagine maybe some NBA players do as well, was this particular quote. The land was stony. This is in Scotland. The land was stony and would need a lot of preparation before we could plant anything. But the soil was rich and dark. I had no idea about farming. The only thing I'd grown was a cannabis plant, and that was more out of curiosity than for any practical purposes. JaVale McGee knows what he's talking about.
I was going to say, the ears of many a player just perked up.
What my research quickly found, Matt, was it doesn't take long for an end-of-the-world dress rehearsal to take a dark turn.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Several of the volunteers had already raised doubts about the scenario I had sketched out as a framework for the experiment. This is, again, Dylan Evans.
Mm-hmm.
By the time disaster struck, we would be in an enviable position with our own supply of food and water, a magnet for less well-prepared survivors. Sooner or later, we would have to stop people from coming in. What if they were starving? What if they were armed?
Sure.
When the topic came up one evening, Pete, a student, suggested we simulate an attack on the community.
Okay.
Personally, I like the idea of utilizing booby traps, mused Angus. Angus is part of the Scotland village.
You got, if you don't have an Angus in your village, Bob, is it really a village?
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
Angus said, how about a couple of longbows trained on visitors as a deterrent? What about organizing workshops and bomb making? As time went on, I worried the subject seemed to exert such fascination.
it's getting a little extreme there.
You know, I wonder why extremists moved yeah. out to simulate the end of the world. That's yeah. weird.
Yeah, you want bombs?
I happen to have 50.
Yeah,
new solutions to the problems would be suggested, but the conversation always seemed to end with what became Angus's stock phrase, quote, attack dogs and pipe bombs.
Oh, Angus.
Another question I asked myself about starting this post-apocalyptic Kyrie Town society. Will women go? What about women?
Sure.
Will they be asked to rough it? This is what Dylan Evans experienced. There was one thing I hadn't foreseen, the arrival of my girlfriend, Bo. We had met through a friend just before I left for Scotland and fallen in love. She arrived just before my 40th birthday with her daughter, and I rented them a little cottage a few miles away. Soon I was heading over to see her every day or two, staying the night. I felt pulled in opposite directions, torn between my desire to spend time with Bo and my wish to tough it out in Utopia, to see whether I could weather the whole winter. Whenever I was at Utopia, I would worry about Bo, and whenever I was with Bo, I would feel I was cheating, sneaking off to a warm cottage while Angus shivered in his yurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Agric chopped wood. They never said a word. Indeed, Agric would tell me that she needed me and that he could cope just fine. There was more trouble in paradise, Matt.
Okay.
Relationships were becoming strained. Adam and I didn't always see eye to eye and started threatening to leave Utopia and take one of his small yurts with him. Mm-hmm. Adam arrived early to help build the yurts. Mm-hmm. I condensed it for time.
Sure.
We only have an hour to build our new world.
Right.
It's not your yurt to take, Adam.
Oh, no.
Dylan said. It belongs to the experiment, and it's not your experiment either. I'm doing a different experiment, Adam replied. You do yours here in the barn area, and I'll do mine there, down by the river. That will be Adamland. I don't believe in all this stuff about civilization collapsing anyway. I just want to live in accordance with the wishes of the Great Spirit.
Okay. What?
These are the kind of arguments you got to be prepared for in an intentional community, Matt. Dylan Evans' story actually ends because he goes to see a doctor, you know, just a general practitioner, and the doctor recommends he see a psychiatrist. So a couple days later, he goes to see the psychiatrist, and he's pretty stressed out at this point. And the doctor says, you know, maybe just take a few days, stay here, calm down.
Yeah.
To which Dylan says, oh, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to relax here. At some point, he brings in another doctor. They're really talking, and they're talking about him staying there. Dylan changes his mind. He's like, you know what? I think I need to get back to the guys, the old Angus, the pipe Europe. Bombs.
Yeah.
And they made him stay there, citing the Mental Health Act, saying he was incapable of making his own decisions at this point.
You know who needs a psychiatrist? That Angus. That's who needs a...
It's a restraining order.
Yeah. They thought he was getting a little kooky, huh?
They thought he was getting kooky, like certifiably kooky. They did not let him go back. He never went back. In fact, 6 years later, some of the people are still living there.
Whoa.
They did not listen to rule number 3 about the time limit.
Yeah.
They've renamed the village the Phoenix Experiment as they have risen from the ashes of crazy Dylan Evans.
Yeah.
They still await the return of their leader, though.
Oh, no.
So that's the story of Dylan Evans. You know, he also gave a who's who on your post-apocalypse extremist, kind of a guide. Some definitions for you here, Matt. So you know the difference. See if maybe you can figure out which one of these categories Kyrie Irving might fit into. You got your boomers.
Sure.
Your boomers are someone who thinks that technological progress will continue indefinitely and make us all richer and happier.
Mm-hmm.
It's booming. The catastrophism, the belief that the world is heading towards an economic, environmental, social, or spiritual collapse and a new and better world will emerge from the ashes of the old one.
I like it.
That's kind of hopeful. Cornucopian, same as the boomer, says see boomer. Technological progress will continue and make us all richer and happier. Declinism, the belief that things are getting worse compared to a former golden age. Popular candidates for the start of this decline include the Industrial Revolution, Romanticism, mm-hmm. and the birth of agriculture, Primitivism.
Okay.
Then you also have the Doomers. They're kind of the opposite of the Boomers.
Yeah.
Someone who believes catastrophe is imminent and that civilization will collapse.
Right. Pipe bombs and what was the other one?
Attack dogs.
Attack dogs and pipe bombs.
Millennialism is the belief that the imperfect world we live in will soon be destroyed and replaced with a better one. It's kind of similar to the catastrophism.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's preppers, someone who is actively preparing for a disaster by stocking up on food and other items. The disaster could be anything from extended power cut to global catastrophe. Some preppers are preparing for a relatively small disaster, however.
Yeah, they got that TV show, Doomsday Preppers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Primitivism is the belief that modern civilization makes people unhappy and that the cure lies in returning to a more simple life. I actually interviewed a primitivist writer in college. His name was John Zerzan.
I think you told me about this once, I think.
Yeah, I met him actually at an anarchist gathering in the woods of Oregon.
Sure.
And we shared a pint of whiskey. And
brewed in a sock.
We trained some attack dogs together. The next day, actually, I was asking my friend, oh, that was fun time with John Zerzan. Where'd he go? And he's like, oh, he left. He doesn't like sleeping in tents.
Yeah.
The primitivist.
Yeah.
Prefers his air conditioning.
His 5-star.
Just a couple more of these here. Rewilding. mm-hmm. is the process of reversing human domestication by relearning primitive skills, such as hunting and gathering. Survivalist, someone who's stocking up so that they can survive. Unlike preppers, they tend to think the disaster will be global, or national at least. And a transhumanist, someone who hopes that the future developments in technology will radically transform human nature for the better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad we have a better understanding before we build our NBA commune.
I didn't know that those were the categories, so my guys don't necessarily fit in those.
Oh, I didn't put any of my guys in those categories either. Okay. No. We're populating our own NBA commune. I don't think I would want any of those guys in there, you know? Preppers, the primitivists, they seem all kind of obnoxious.
Yeah, I'm glad you didn't use them because I didn't want to sound silly while making my fake NBA commune.
Yeah.
The last thing
don't
I want to do
about that.
Is sound unprofessional with the commune.
You're in a safe space here. Let's just get ahead and start the populating of our commune. I'm guessing working title.
Yeah.
I'm open to suggestions. Brickhouse Land.
Yeah, Brickhouse Land.
Okay. Matt Barnes on security detail.
Oh, that's a good one.
Attack dogs and pipe bombs are his forte.
Yeah.
He'll make some shanks.
Yeah.
Whatever you need.
Yeah.
I think Jerry Stackhouse would be my second choice for this job.
Oh, I like that. I started at the top with Mark Cuban.
Okay.
Because he'll have all the good inventions.
Yeah.
And he'll be able to secure some good products for us, so.
I bet he's a boomer.
I think so. Or, yeah.
He'll think technology is going to save us.
Yep.
And he'll be the one to bring it in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see him as rising to any sort of, like, cult leader status in Brickhouse Land?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I don't think he wants that.
It's just chief technical officer.
Yeah.
Okay. I suggested that we bring Shane Battier out of retirement to be Brickhouse Land's school teacher.
Oh, okay.
Going to have, if any women come to Brickhouse Land, there's inevitably going to be some procreation.
Yeah.
Not to mention a lot of these NBA guys are going to be bringing their own litters to the intentional community.
That is true. We need some sort of general manager.
Right.
Sam Hinkie, Bob.
Of course.
He's nuts. He's entertaining. We're going to need someone to throw a lot of stuff against the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah.
And he's just the guy to be able to do that.
The stockpiling draft picks is kind of like a prepper does there.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. But do you have someone who... He's one of those guys, of the tank, he invites Doomsday, but he rushes towards Doomsday with a full backpack on of gear.
Canned goods.
Yeah.
Pipe bombs. I said Shaq should be our cattle rancher.
I like it.
He's a big guy. He might be too big to ride a horse, probably bad for the integrity of the horse's spine, but he is 10% owner of all Five Guys burger joints.
Of all of them?
All of them.
Oh, wow.
Shaq's got 10%. That was a great investment. Yeah, so I figure that qualifies him to be our cattle rancher.
We need a head coach, Bob. You got to have a steady hand who gets every bit out of you but isn't crazy. Greg Popovich.
Okay.
He'll get everything. Plus, he'll provide entertainment because he'll probably like swat Hinkie a little bit and like poke at him and make him. He'll like have the I guess you could call him the mayor, I guess. I don't know if he's
I like it.
The mayor necessarily, but
that's probably a more appropriate role for Popovich. I had him pegged as Brickhouse Land's blacksmith, slash librarian.
Okay,
he's tough.
Yeah,
but he's also
shush you.
He's also learned.
Yeah, I thought you meant he'll just shush you.
Shush you. Mm-hmm. he came out with a reading list. He makes a reading list every summer and. After the Game 3 loss, he's probably already been working on his.
Yeah.
But longreads.com, this past week, they published a list of some of the titles that he's read over previous summer breaks.
Okay.
Just a few for you. God Is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything by Christopher Hitchens.
Oh, but yeah, that's... I was
some light reading. Light summer reading.
I was going to say, who wrote that? And then, yeah, Hitchens.
Next one, what's so great about Christianity?
Oh, I'm sensing a theme here.
Oh, that's the only two. But,
okay. Is that a Hitchens, too?
That is Dinesh D'Souza.
Dinesh D'Souza. I think I might have... He is a Christian. So he has... Those are one book dealing with atheism, one dealing with Christianity.
Yeah, he wants to know both sides.
I think I might have bought that book for my dad a few years ago.
Oh, all right.
I think so.
He's on... He would get along with Head Librarian of Brickhouse Land.
Yeah.
Also, some unknown titles by Joseph Stalin and Vladimir Putin.
Okay. Yeah.
Many books by David Foster Wallace, who I'm a big fan of. Between the World and Me... But Ta-Nehisi Coates.
Yeah.
Oh, you know this?
Yeah.
He says he's tried to read Ulysses by James Joyce multiple times and, quote, I'm not man enough for it. Too difficult to understand. Too many big words. Concepts that are way over my head. But I've always told myself that I have to tackle this. I do about every 3 years try and read it. Never had success.
One day, Pop.
But that's what you need in a librarian.
Okay.
Know? Or maybe just make him mayor. Because he's smart.
Either way, he can be mayor also, mayor librarian. You know who needs to be in this commune? What are we calling it?
Brickhouse Land?
Kyrie's got to be here, Bob.
Kyrie, okay,
I don't really have a specific job. I just know he wants in and he'll take it seriously. And we could use a guy like that.
He's got skills. I was looking up like what other skills Kyrie might have. Mm-hmm. I saw that he can skateboard.
Oh, really?
I was pretty surprised by
that. Okay. Do you have Kyrie in there too?
I had Kyrie as the cult leader.
Okay, fair enough.
Who else we got? We got Dwight Howard. I got him. He's the compost guy. All good farms need a compost guy.
Nice.
He shovels up the cow and the goat dung and makes the compost. He's strong, so that'll help. And everybody else, they won't mind sticking Dwight with this duty. Pun intended.
Oh, okay. You did it. We need entertainment. We need a bartender.
Yeah.
Joel Embiid, Bob.
Oh, how did I not see
that? Yeah, he's it might just be 100% Shirley Temples, but he'll learn on the fly, and he'll provide the entertainment needed in a barkeep.
Nice.
We need Dirk in this community, Bob.
I agree.
He just brings the vet. He just brings the veteran knowledge. So maybe he's the sage of the.
Yeah.
You just set him up in a small office, and if people have questions, they can come ask him questions, and he'll give them the answers.
I like that. Oh, you know, we got to put somebody in charge of shoes.
Oh, okay.
And I know who you might be thinking.
Yeah.
But there's no way I'm letting LeVar Ball into my. Beach community.
Yeah.
No, we're going to put Ty Lawson in charge of shoes.
Oh, no, why?
He started that company for the puffy slippers.
Oh,
the puffy slippers that look like Jordans.
I totally forgot about that. How's that company doing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But you don't really need, much more than some comfy, puffy, moon boot shoes for getting around your community.
I like that, Bob.
Thanks.
That's a really good one.
Just to be clear, I do enjoy LeVar Ball from, the safety of my living room.
Yeah.
Another player just that we don't want coming into Brickhouse Land, Kobe Bryant.
Oh, man.
We don't want his storytelling. We don't want his muse cage messing up the utopia.
He'll have too many ideas.
No.
Not saying good ideas.
No.
Just ideas.
We love Kobe.
Yeah.
Just not in my intentional community here. I thought Kelly Olynyk would make a perfect scarecrow.
Bob, I have Olynyk on my list, too.
Is he a scarecrow?
No, I just said I need someone to watch Gonzaga games with.
Oh, nice.
That's why I have it. Why do you have a scarecrow for Olynyk?
I just think he looks like one.
Yeah.
And the other players wouldn't mind using him that way.
That's a pretty solid one. I like it. Draymond Green, Bob, need some Draymond.
Draymond,
he'll do the heavy lifting. He'll get really excited about things, and next thing you know, you'll have a wall by your yurt just because he just got a lot of energy and decided he needed a wall. I don't know.
Just tell Draymond he can't build a wall. That's whatever you need something done.
Yeah.
Hey, Draymond, I bet you can't dig this latrine.
I bet, yeah. Yeah. Next thing you know, you'll have a latrine.
I think Russell Westbrook should be in charge of making everyone's clothes. He can raise sheep and llamas for material. He doesn't even have to pass them the basketball. The sheep and llamas will be content without passes from Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, right.
That's good, because they weren't going to get him.
That's good. My last guy here, Bob, we need Devin Booker, because much like the Suns' future, he's the future of the commune. He's the future of the, nice, of the land. We need the youth. We need the energy. And he's going to bring it for us.
I like it. My last couple, Vlade Divac, goat herder and goat slaughterer.
Sure. Give them both. I like it.
He's good at this. He knows what he's doing. The only thing with Vlade and the Brickhouse Land goats, you know, entrusting the goats to him, mm-hmm, you got to keep an eye on him whenever he's talking to people from the neighboring villages.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want him to end up trading all the goats for instructions for a rain dance or something.
Right.
But otherwise, I'll have Vlade. Oh, and lastly, no commune would be complete without a yoga instructor.
Okay.
I nominate Meta World Peace.
Oh, yeah.
I assume our commune's going to be filled with people that are going to demand yoga class, and you can go for the stretching and the relaxation, but leave with just a smile on your face from all the Meta World Peace friendly banter.
Friendly banter, or just his Meta World Peace, Bob.
Just him being meta. I reached out to my good friend Anders about this segment.
Right.
I've actually dropped him off at a couple of communes in our the lifetime of our friendship.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, a few years ago, he bought 5 acres of raw land in Oregon, and he's pretty much been building his own commune himself. Taught himself carpentry, builds all the structures, even has a composting toilet. Inevitably, he has a lot of drifters, vagabonds, general free spirits,
yeah,
that come and will stay on his land and either stay in a trailer or they'll build their own little mini structure. And the first year I went to visit him, we went and, you know, got some beer and pizza. And he was telling me that his philosophy is basically, now that he's got this land, if anybody he knows ever needs a place to stay, just come on down to Anders' farm.
Sure.
Be all right. So 3-4 years later, I go to visit him. We go to the same pizza place, have the same beers, and I asked him, so how's that, like, you know, just letting anybody who wants to stay on your land go? And he's, yeah, like, I might have to rethink that. They're just training attack dogs and building pipe bombs all day. I don't know. I don't really feel comfortable in my own home anymore.
Everybody is willing to let others use their land until they meet Angus. Well, you have an Angus just running up on you.
So I was working on, you know, the roles of the commune. I thought I had it down, right? The goat herder, the blacksmith, you know, the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
The things that you would think are part of the NBA commune. I asked him, like, what are some roles on the commune maybe I'm not thinking of? And he sent me quite a list. I'd like to share it with you. And I have a few guys that I just throwing out there, maybe as an NBA nominee for this position.
Yeah.
You think of anybody, let me know. But Anders' list is the real highlight here. So he says every commune has these following characters. Drunk, creepy guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Gar Foreman. The freeloader / mooch.
Yeah.
Chandler Parsons.
Okay.
Guy who sleeps with everyone.
Okay.
Joakim Noah.
Sure. George Marcus.
George Marcus.
Wilt Chamberlain. Yeah.
Peacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
I put DeAndre Jordan in there.
Okay.
Power-hungry Mussolini type guy.
Power-hungry Mussolini type guy. Who's this?
John Wall.
John Wall. Okay.
Quiet, sarcastic dude. Dirk.
Dirk, yeah.
None of these are the things that I thought of for the commune.
Yeah.
Although I can imagine that they're all there.
Every commune needs a good Mussolini figure.
They also had a unscrupulous landlord. I put down as
Anders.
Donald Sterling.
Donald Sterling.
The person everyone hates, but no one will admit it. Chris Paul.
Ooh. Ooh.
One of the people he said is always on a commune. Bitch who never does the dishes. I'll just say that's Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo,
I assume
yeah.
That's how it would go. Comedians? My two favorite comedians in the NBA now, Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye.
Yeah, yeah.
The source of this entire segment.
Right.
The skank. I'm going to say Nikola Pekovic is the skank.
Oh, wow.
I've heard he's got about every STD there is due to his insatiable lust for groupies and hatred of condoms.
Okay. Specific insight information.
Another role on every commune, the charming liar.
Mm-hmm.
Placeholder, Rob Pelinka, Dan Fagan. Name your agent, Billy.
Yeah.
Fit in perfectly there. The person no one knows but is sleeping on your couch.
I like it.
Another role there.
You know who's that? Garrett Temple, Bob.
Garrett Temple.
Yeah.
I had Jan Mahimi.
Oh, that's a good one.
Does anyone know who this Ian guy is?
Yeah. He just keeps showing
it's
up.
It's Jan! The person who doesn't flush the toilet / pisses on the seat,
mm-hmm.
Michael Beasley.
Sure.
Person who might have slept with your girlfriend while you were out of town, Tony Parker.
Oof.
Preacher, Mark Jackson. Debtor, Nikola Jokic. I just put him because he's the most underpaid guy in the league.
Yeah.
Conspiracy nut. Now, we know that there's many different kinds of conspiracy nuts,
right,
thanks to Dylan Evans. But I'll just put Kyrie and Adam Morrison here.
Okay, I
like
it.
Two guys. The adventurist. I'll put Meta World Peace there. Yoga instructor. A guy who is in jail and now you have to deal with all of their or possessions.
Oh, wow.
Gilbert Arenas.
Oh, Gilbert, yeah.
Guy who borrows your bike and loses it. I put Blake Griffin down there. He seems kind of absent-minded.
He seems like a guy who would borrow your bike and then lose it.
The guy who does recycling for everyone for 5 cents per bottle. I put Nick Stauskas.
Yeah.
And the last thing that Anders said is on every commune is the artist everyone loves, Steve Nash.
Steve Nash.
Now, the NBA next year is ending their contract with Adidas for their jerseys. And we'll be switching to Nike. In addition to the swoosh making their jerseys, the NBA will also be adding logos 2.5 inch by 2.5 inches in size on each team jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so far, there have been 6 deals struck between teams and corporate sponsors. Those include, the most recent one is the Sacramento Kings. We're just sponsored by Blue Diamond.
Diamond.
Almonds.
Almonds. Amazing.
Perfect. They're both nuts. And they're both got some shade of blue in their thing, I suppose. They're doing a $5 million trial run with Blue Diamond Almonds next year.
For one season.
One season.
Okay.
All these other teams have 3-year deals. The Cavs got Goodyear. Goodyear Tires is doing a deal with them. They're based out of Akron.
Oh, okay.
Just like King James.
Blue Diamond Almonds based out of Sacramento.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sensing a pattern.
So the Cavs are getting between $5 and $10 million for 3 years from Goodyear. The Sixers got StubHub. They were actually the first team to make a deal. $5 million a year for 3 years. It's funny for a team with some of the worst ticket sales. And actually, whenever they go around to other teams and play on the road, those are some of the worst ticket sales. Maybe StubHub will help. General Electric is sponsoring the Boston Celtics for $8 million per year. Most lucrative one so far. And Qualtrics is sponsoring the Utah Jazz. Now, I know what you're thinking. What the hell is Qualtrics?
Yeah.
They're a software that enables users to do many kinds of online data collection analysis, including market research, customer satisfaction and loyalty, product and concept testing, employee evaluations, website feedback. I'm sorry I wasn't able to answer your question about what is Qualtrics.
Yeah.
But
I heard
tried.
Data collection.
They're a bunch of Poindexters out there in Provo.
Mm-hmm.
And the Brooklyn Nets got Infor, which is a multinational, privately held, United States-based enterprise software company headquartered in New York City.
Okay, sure.
$8 million a year.
$8 million a year.
Brooklyn Nets, baby.
Yikes.
So we did the other 24 teams a favor and figured out who is the best corporate fit for their team and who should sponsor them, whose money they should take, and whose image they should put on their jersey.
Right.
I suggest we start with the Eastern Conference. Are you with me here, Matt?
Yeah.
The Atlanta Hawks, I suggested, should be sponsored by Skittles.
Okay.
It's a way to try and test Dwight Howard's ability to resist the sugary rainbow.
Nice. I got him with White Castle because I don't know. It might be wrong, but that's what I think about when I think about Atlanta.
Nice. Orlando Magic?
Yeah.
Who you got? Who's sponsoring the Orlando Magic?
The Congo Tourism Department. Yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, that just... Put an ad for... I'm sure Congo has a tourism department, right? They have to. Either way, maybe now it'll spread the word, Bob.
There you go.
Who do you have?
I had Stuff, the mascot. He negotiated this deal. $200 a year.
That's a good one.
Made by a madman mascot. He'd be the guy who keeps suggesting the commune people spend their time making crossbows and pipe bombs, too.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Next team up, Miami Heat. I suggested they get sponsored by one of two companies.
Okay.
Buffy's Body Butter or the White V-Neck Tea Corporation.
Like that. Yeah. I just put Scarface. Just a picture of the Scarface poster on there.
Awesome. The Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte Hornets.
Jordan brand, but the logo is a 7-foot white version of Jordan.
That's Frank Kaminsky, yeah. And Cody Zeller special.
Right.
We got the Washington Wizards next.
Mine just says Harry Potter, obviously.
Nice.
Nothing clever, just wizards and
I got nothing clever either, except Washington, D.C. Wizards are sponsored by the Kremlin.
Okay. Okay.
The New York Knicks... I said in a move of vanity are sponsored by James Dolan's band, JD and the Straight Shot.
He has that band?
JD and the Straight Shot. They opened for the Bloody Eagles this year.
Oh, wow.
Because he paid to do that.
Yeah, nice.
He's rich.
I have them sponsored by Citco Gasoline, Bob. You know Citco?
No.
Gasoline? I don't know what it stands for, but the logo is a triangle, and it's it's Venezuelan owned. So Venezuela is a dying country, much like the Knicks are a dying basketball franchise.
Wow.
And mainly the logo is a triangle.
I mean, so. That's probably why they would pick it. The Toronto Raptors will be sponsored by the NHL.
Okay.
On their basketball jerseys. Like, yeah.
To remind the Toronto fans what they'd rather be watching. I have Toronto Raptors sponsored by Jurassic World because of the dinosaurs, but... Because they're currently a more expensive and worse version than the team from a few years ago, meaning the original Jurassic Park.
That so, hurts. Yeah, yeah. But I can see your thought process.
Yeah.
Chicago Bulls. This is a new one. Romp Him.
Oh, the Romp'ems, yeah.
They're actually based out of Chicago.
Are
the
they?
Male romper company.
Could you see Rondo and Butler and Wade romping around in those...
I don't know about Butler, but Wade and Rondo, I wouldn't put it past him.
I just have Mike Ditka's face. I just think they should remind all Chicagoans about Mike Ditka.
That'll
just
sell some jerseys.
Put his face right on there.
The Milwaukee Bucks, I say, should be brought to you by Mallory Eden's Instagram. That is the daughter of Wes Eden's, Bucks owner. She made her name for herself when she represented the team at the NBA draft lottery, either last year or the year before.
Oh,
quite cute.
I remember her. She slipped my memory. I remember when she was there, though. Made the buzz.
She's big on Instagram.
I don't know how you say it, Fage Greek yogurt.
Yeah.
Just go all in on the Greeks, Bob.
I like it. The Indiana Pacers, I can't help but just think that they should be brought to you by a... silhouette of drunk Larry Bird riding atop a John Deere riding mower.
We almost had the same one. I put drunk Dennis Hopper from Hoosiers.
The last one in the Eastern Conference is the Detroit Pistons, brought to you by Brita Water Filters.
Why is that?
Oh, Flint, Michigan. Oh. They haven't had clean water in 6 months.
Diet Pepsi. because it's a reminder that Stan Van Gundy will always care more about Diet Pepsi than he does his basketball team.
Diet Pepsi.
Yeah, don't remind me.
All right, let's get into our Western Conference jersey sponsorship suggestions. Let's just start right where we know we're going to end up, the Phoenix Suns.
Phoenix Suns. A logo that says 2010 and stays there, so Sarver has to see how long it's been since they made the playoffs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's probably going to lose out to their inevitable sponsor, the University of Kentucky. I actually would not be surprised if that's actually who they
had to happen.
The LA Clippers. The LA Clippers are going to have a sponsor. Actually, my wife suggested this one. The LA Clippers, brought to you by the black cat sitting atop a ladder next to a broken mirror corporation.
I like that. That is a great, that's a great one. I have Sprint, the phone company, because you know that new ad campaign where they're like, hey, trust us. We're like as good as Verizon. Trust us. Hey, trust us. And like, everyone's like, yeah, we're still going to go. We're still going to go pay more to see Verizon.
Doth protest too much.
Yeah.
Well, now that you bring them up, the LA Lakers, who do you think should sponsor the cross hallway rival?
I have two. They should just go full on, just big baller brand. Just go.
Yeah.
Just do it.
$1 billion?
Yeah, just do that. Or they should be sponsored by Marvel, because no matter how much overkill or how bad they are, they're still going to make that money, Bob.
Oh, that is appropriate. I just said the Lakers, brought to you by cocaine.
Okay.
It's popular. The Golden State Warriors.
Blackjack Pizza.
Blackjack, huh?
Yeah, Blackjack Pizza just is a good way of having their owner remind them that he's the best blackjack player there is.
Yeah, I said that the Golden State Warriors this next year are going to be brought to you by Radio Flyer, and they're going to be announcing they are now making bandwagons. Huge. Warriors fans will love it.
Yeah.
The Portland Trail Blazers. I said the Portland Trail Blazers are brought to you by Kyrie Irving's hippie commune. Come for the cheese-making course. Stay because you got pregnant.
What does that have to do with Portland? Just hippies?
I mean, there's a lot of good land out there in Oregon, yeah. You know? Stay. Good place for a commune.
Stay because you got pregnant. SoundCloud, Bob.
SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. Dame Lillard is a SoundCloud rapper, and he's on SoundCloud.
The Oklahoma City Thunder. Who will sponsor those guys?
Sonic Drive-In.
Okay.
Sonic, get it. Supersonics, get it?
Oh, Sonic. Oh, that's a reminder.
Yeah, there's no real reason other than that.
I figured that the owner of the Thunder would just use his own company, Chesapeake Energy.
And
I think they're already the Chesapeake Arena. Chesapeake Energy, do you know what their corporate slogan is?
Beat the rap and die in a questionable inferno the next day.
No, actually, it's screw the earth.
Oh, screw the earth.
Who needs the earth?
I think that's Russell Westbrook's personal motto, too, right?
How about the New Orleans Pelicans?
I just put Bubba Gump Shrimp.
Oh, nice.
That's what I think of when I think of them.
Yeah, I said New Orleans, brought to you by FEMA, literally. Literally brought to you by FEMA. The Houston Rockets. I said the Houston Rockets are sponsored by Enron because the Rockets are the NBA's version of a Ponzi scheme.
Oh, man. Too soon. Threes Company on DVD.
Mm.
Just more threes, baby.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, how about the old Dallas Mavericks, old Cuban?
I put Shark Tank episode where best Cuban-approved product gets the patch. So it's a to-be-determined patch, but we're working some TV into it.
You gotta win the rights, huh?
Yeah.
I said the Dallas Mavericks are brought to you by the ride-sharing app Fasten.
I haven't heard of this.
Yeah, just like their free agents, they end up with the fourth best option.
That's a good one. That is a very good one.
The San Antonio Spurs, Matt. Who is going to sponsor the Spurs?
I said they should be sponsored by the New England Patriots because I think that would be kind of funny. You know, they'd be rubbing people's faces in it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know why I chose this one other than to just see Greg Popovich's reaction and say that the Spurs should be sponsored by Halliburton.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the popping off segment
about
that.
He probably has some stuff to say about that.
How about the Memphis Grizzlies? I said they should be sponsored by the Take That for Data t-shirt.
Oh, that's great. I said hot water, Bob.
Hot water.
Hot water. Got to work it in.
And the Minnesota Timberwolves?
Prince.
Oh.
Sponsored by Prince.
That's exactly what I said.
Did you really?
I said put the Prince symbol on their jersey. What they lack in sponsorship dollars, they'll make up for in jersey sales.
I like it.
Our last one is the Denver Nuggets, Matt. Who's going to sponsor the Denver Nuggets? I said Doritos.
Yeah. Basically what I had, Munchies snack mix. Yeah.
Let's get into this week's Diss of the Week.
Yo mama is so fat.
That Monstar theme song played by the Cavs was definitely in contention for Diss of the Week, but the loss... in fact, the biggest upset in NBA playoff history didn't help seal the deal for making it a good diss.
Yeah.
Oh, another failed diss of the week came from the same game. LeBron James had a heckler thrown out after Game 3 on Sunday. Brian Windhurst reported, LeBron got peeved at a heckling fan after the game. LeBron asked what the fan had done. Dude replied, I played at Hiram College. Emotions were raw in the moment, but the guy's liquid courage was pretty hilarious. He was removed from the arena shouting his college stats.
I love it. That's really good.
But this week's winner of the Diss of the Week came from I Enjoy Taffy, the user on NBA Reddit. He said, Doc Rivers was traded to the Los Angeles Clippers from the Boston Celtics in 2013 in large part because he did not want to be part of a rebuilding team. The Boston Celtics have now reached the conference finals before Doc and the Clippers.
Yikes.
Oh, that just makes me sad. Way to go. Way to go, Doc.
On the next episode of Brick House.
We should have a very special guest from another very funny NBA show.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to next week's episode. And we'll have some time to work on it, too, because there's not going to be very much basketball played in the next few days.
We'll just go down to the park and just watch random kids play.
Again, if you want to follow us, that's on Twitter at BrickHousePod. Email us through our website, BrickHousePodcast.com. Show us some love on iTunes, wherever you love stuff. And, of course, you can find us and all of our basketball brothers and sisters at almightyballer.com or the Almighty Baller Station on Dash Radio. Brickhouse is on at 11 a.m. Pacific Wednesdays and then again at 6 p.m. Wednesdays Pacific time. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you on the next episode of Brickhouse.